Good morning, Hope Church. My name's Alex. I'm one of the leaders here at Hope, and it's my joy and privilege this morning to bring you a message from our series looking in the book of Nehemiah, looking at this idea of rebuilding, refocusing, and revival. So far, to catch us up in the story, we've seen in chapter 1 Nehemiah weeping over the news that Jerusalem's walls are destroyed, and praying fervently to God. And then in chapter 2, he comes before the king, and miraculously, the king of Babylon gives him permission and gives him plenty of resource as well to go and rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. So he comes to Jerusalem, he surveyed the scene, and that's where we're at now. The rebuilding process is about to begin. Exciting times. And you know what? It's really relevant to where we're at today, isn't it? We're in a period where we as a church are about to enter exciting times, almost a time of renewal or a rebuilding of what we've lost over this last year without our face-to-face in-person contact. So this series, and particularly this chapter, I think is really going to set us up for what's about to come. But when we read this chapter together, the first thing you'll see is actually that it's one of those tricky parts of the Bible where it's just a long list of names and occupations and names we don't recognize and places we don't recognize. So how do you unpack that? How do you process that as a Christian when you're reading through this and we're trying to explore that this morning? I think there's two things just for us to bear in mind as we read through a little bit of it together. The first is the context. Where does this fit within the story? You've heard where we've come from. We've read that together the last couple of weeks. And so let's think about the context of this and the context of the time we're in. And also let's just think about what does the author of Nehemiah choose to tell us? We believe that the Bible was written by men, but it was inspired by God. And so every detail is chosen specifically. So if there's something the author decides to tell us, there's plenty of details they could tell us, but if the author decides to tell us something, let's pay attention to those small little details. So we're going to read this together. I'm not going to read the entire chapter because you'll see there's a clear theme throughout that we'll get the gist of. But I'll read some select verses from it now, as just so you get the idea of what this chapter includes. So from verse 1, it says, then, and I apologize if I get the names wrong here, if I pronounce them wrong. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set up its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Tower of Hananel. And next to him, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. Now, verse 8. Next to them, Uzziel, the son of Hariah, the goldsmiths, repaired. Next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, repaired. And they restored Jerusalem as far as the Broad Wall. Verse 12. Next to him, Shallum, the son of Halohesh, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired, he and his daughters. After him, the priests, the men of the surrounding area, repaired. After them, Benjamin and Hashub repaired opposite their house. After them, Azariah, the son of Maaseiah, son of Ananiah, repaired beside his own house. Jumping to verse 28, above the horse gate, the priests repaired, each one opposite his own house. After them, Zadok, the son of Immer, repaired opposite his own house. After him, Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate, repaired. And then finally, verse 32. And between the upper chamber of the corner and the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and the merchants repaired. Like I said, it's a long list. That if you want to read the whole chapter, please do. It's a long list of people and names and what they were repairing in the walls. So remember the context of where we're at in the story. Nehemiah and the Israelites in Jerusalem have been tasked with rebuilding the walls, and this is how they're going about it. So from that context today, I actually want to look at three principles that I think are applied here in the way that they're rebuilding the walls, that I think teach us something today. And again, particularly in the situation that we're in, both personally as we come out of lockdown, but also communally as a church. Just principles that I think set us up to figure out where does God want us? How does he want us to work for him, to serve him as we rebuild the walls in our lives. I think it's a time, isn't it, for fresh starts. It's a time for new things. And so let's just have that in our mind, in our mindset, as we just unpack, I think, three principles that this passage teaches us this morning. So the first principle that I want us to kind of think about, and I think this passage kind of shows us, is what I'd call priority. Priority. Now let's look in at verse one. The first thing that is in the passage, again, with that mindset of what is the author choose to tell us. And the first verse says, Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brothers the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set up its doors. They consecrated it as far as the tower of the hundred, as far as the tower of Hananel. So what is the sheep gate? Why would they mention this as the first thing that they decide to mention? Well, the sheep gate actually was the gate in the city. It was seen as quite a holy gate that would lead to the temple. It's the gate you would enter when you would bring your sacrifices to the temple. It is literally called the sheep gate because they would have animals nearby pasturing that they could bring, you know, sheep and lambs particularly, to bring to the temple for sacrifice. So it was a very particular and holy part of the city. In fact, you'll read in the New Testament in John 5 that it says the pool of Bethesda, where a miracle Jesus performs to a paralyzed man, is performed by the sheep gate. Now, we aren't told in the passage if this was the first thing that was completed or the exact timeline of things, but it is, again, remember, the first thing the author chooses to tell us. And in fact, this detail of saying that this gate was consecrated is the only extra detail we get. The rest of the passage just says, this person repaired here, this person repaired here. This is the only place it says, and the wall itself, the gate itself, was consecrated. That means it was prayed over, it was blessed, it was given special treatment by the high priest and the other priests and the people working on it. So what does this tell us? What is the author trying to communicate to us here? Well, I think it tells us that among all the busyness of setting up and rebuilding the walls in Jerusalem, that Nehemiah and the Israelites there got their priorities right. Their first priority, the number one thing they wanted to make sure they got right, was that they involved God in what they were doing. That they involved God from the very start. I don't know about you, I'm not great at doing that in my own life. When I have major decisions to make in my life, I find it very difficult for my first thought to be to involve God. It should be that way. We all attain to that, but I'm sure you would join me in saying that's a hard thing for us to do, to get our priorities right. I'm always worrying about things, how much money is involved, or, you know, kind of what things could go wrong. But Nehemiah and the Israelites' first thought, the first thing the author wants us to know, is that they got their priorities right. I know it sounds obvious, but if you're in a situation now where you're struggling with, what do I do? We're coming out of lockdown, or it's a time of fresh new things in life. Where does God want me? What's my calling? Where should I be? The important thing to remember is to always start with God. Always make God the priority in all of these decisions. 1 Corinthians 10:31, a very famous verse, puts it like this. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, of course, this is referring to food and whether you should eat or not eat certain foods within that culture. But the principle is actually something that would apply even today to all kinds of things. The principle is, don't get caught up so much in the process that you forget the purpose. I'll say that again. Don't get so caught up in the process that you forget the purpose. Start with God and let everything else flow from that. That's what the Israelites were doing. They made sure that God was literally built into the foundations of what they were doing. Have you ever put together like an IKEA shelf or step-by-step furniture? And then you get to like step 4 or 5 and you realize there was some key component that you forgot to put in at the start, and you've now got to take it all apart. Oh, it's so frustrating, isn't it? There's this key thing that you just missed somehow. Well, luckily the Israelites have got it right. They put in the key component. They put God in right from the start. the first thing that we are told is that they're rebuilding the sheep gate and they're consecrating it. They're giving it the proper due diligence because they know that God has to be involved. I mean, I don't know about you, but so often for me, it's not step one in the process that God gets involved for me. It's step four or five. But when things start going wrong or I'm not sure what to do, that's when I suddenly start bringing God in and start praying or start, asking Christian friends their view and all this kind of stuff. But so often we need to just bake God in from the start. We need to prioritize God. I mean, right now, are you worrying about a job situation? Start with God. Before you start looking for things, just start by going to God. Are you thinking about whether you might want to move house, whether you want to get married or have children or any other number of big life choices? Well, make sure you start, make sure you prioritize God. That might mean praying by yourself or with someone else. It might mean reading the Bible by yourself or with someone else. It might mean seeking godly wisdom from a good Christian friend or someone at church that you respect. But don't get caught up in the busyness of life so much that you just don't lay the foundations and get the priority right. So that's the first principle I think we want to take hold of in this season is priority. Priority. The second one that I want to want to focus on that this passage I think talks about is what I'd call proximity. So the next thing you might notice as we read through that passage is how many of the characters it references were rebuilding in the place that they lived. So just again, a few verses, verse 22. After him, the priests and the men of the surrounding area repaired. Then Benjamin and Hashub repaired opposite their house. Then Azariah, the son of Maaseiah, son of Ananiah, repaired beside his own house. And then verse 28, above the horse gate, the priest repaired, each one opposite his own house. After them, Zadok, the son of Immer, repaired opposite his own house. And so it goes on. You read in this passage, people repairing the walls where they are. You see, some of us are called to be Nehemiahs, no doubt. Some of us are called to be people that step out and go to new places and rebuild something grand in a whole new part of the world. And, you know, we have friends right now from America, in fact, who are partnering with us in the global mission of the church. And in a way, they're like Nehemiahs. They're coming here to help us, to partner with us, to help kind of build or rebuild things in our community, in this gospel partnership. And that's wonderful. That's great. But you know what? Many of us are not called to be Nehemiahs. Many of us are not called to take that step, but rather, or at least not yet in our lives, but rather we are called to just minister and to do God's work where we are. So your mission field is your home. Your mission field is your workplace, whether that's face-to-face or online. Your mission field is your friendship group and your family members. Now, you may think God can only use you once you've reached that position of influence or you've started that business you've been meaning to start or you've got enough friends or the right set of gifts, but God has equipped all of us to just work where we are. Your proximity, where you are now, God has placed you there. Matthew 9, verse 37 to 38 says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." See, the harvest is plentiful. There's a harvest waiting for us. There are people who don't know Jesus that we can minister to. There are people who haven't experienced the love of Christ in their life. And yet we so often think of it as something that we will do later or something that we'll do only at this specific point or in this specific way. But Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but it's the laborers that are few. So often we have all of these excuses built up in our minds of why we can't work now. We need to wait for the right time. We need to wait until we can get to the right place. I remember a time in my early 20s where I was fired up for the gospel. I was at university and then came back to London, and I was in a really good place, I feel, in my walk with Jesus. And I was single, so I had the time, I had the energy, I was working, but I was at home with my parents, so I had the resources as well, money-wise. I had so much I felt I could give. And now I look at my life and I think, I've got kids, I've got a mortgage, I'm not in quite so secure a place financially. The pandemic's been a bit tough on, mental health and all of that. I'm not telling you this as like a sob story. I'm really, genuinely very blessed, but it's just in the back of my mind. Maybe it's the same for you. In the back of my mind, I have a nice list of excuses where I can say to God, not today, not right now. Maybe years down the line when things have calmed down a bit. Maybe when we're out of the pandemic. Maybe when this or that. Maybe later, but not today. But the thing is that the harvest is there. Because God uses us where we are. We don't have that excuse, because God uses us where we are to rebuild in the proximity, in the area around us, whether physically or just in the spheres of influence that we have. We all have family members, friends, colleagues, neighbours, all kinds of people that we interact with, that we can either demonstrate Christ's love practically or speak the gospel to them directly. Like the Israelites, though, we can rebuild on our own streets where we are. So let me to consider, please just consider where God has already placed you. Don't have this mindset of, I'm waiting for something else. Something else will come. Somewhere else will be where this happens. No, God has placed you where you are now. So priority, let's get our priorities right in this season, church. And the second one, proximity. Think about where we are now, rather than something else, somewhere else. The final principle I want to focus on, highlight here, actually is one perhaps you don't initially expect when you read the passage. So you may notice that all of the characters had their jobs listed. I think the temptation in our minds is to think, oh, what a wonderful view of the kind of diverse backgrounds and jobs and various things we find in the church. Our minds might go to 1 Corinthians 12, where it talks about how some of us are hands, some of us are eyes, some of us are the head or feet. We all have a role to play. Now, that's very true. Of course, that's true. 1 Corinthians 12 is a wonderful part of the Bible. But I don't think actually that's what we see demonstrated here. That could be our first instinct, is to see that. But actually, I think it's actually, in a way, almost showing the opposite of that sentiment. And so the third principle I want to focus on is what I call practicality. Practicality. Notice again what it says. We have priests and perfumers, we have goldsmiths and merchants and district leaders. So they're all different people, yeah? But rather than each of them using their role or their gifts here, they're all just getting stuck into the practical work of rebuilding and repairing the walls in front of them. See, the principle here, I think, is that whether you think of yourself as an eye or a hand or a foot or whatever, yes, we all have different gifts. And yes, God will use them in different seasons. But you know what? God is often just calling us to get on with the work that's right in front of us, that may have nothing to do with our talents or our gifts right now. And that's a hard concept to take, isn't it? Because I think our culture is so individualistic. We're trained to really relate to those parts of the Bible that talk about us being unique and individual people. Now, in some cultures, it's going to be the opposite. They're going to struggle with the individualism and they're going to love the kind of the sort of wider community stuff. But this, I think, is something that we would struggle with. Because each of us, I think, likes to think of ourselves as the main character in the story. I think actually there's a little bit of a problem sometimes when we come to read the Bible, because there's a tendency that we insert ourselves into every story. And this may be a controversial thing to say, and I make no apologies for it, because I think this is true. But I think we have a tendency for us to think of ourselves in every story as the main character. When we read the story of David, we think of ourselves, I am David. So what are the Goliaths in my life I must defeat? We read Abraham, the story of Abraham, and we think, I am Abraham, so what grand plan does God have for my life? Sometimes that can be helpful. Sometimes to ask those questions, I'm not saying those are all wrong. But I think most of the time, as I've said, we're not called to be Nehemiah. But we are called to be one of these many, many, many people who are listed here, who are just doing the work that's in front of them. We all have different roles, different parts to play. But you know what? Sometimes you just have to get stuck in to what's right there and get practical. Isn't it telling that the priests in verse 1 again, and even the high priest, are listed as just rebuilding the walls? Yes, they bless it and consecrate, but they also just rebuild it. You know, these are the spiritual leaders of the time. The priests are just getting stuck in. And as New Testament believers, we know it, we believe in the priesthood of all believers. We believe that we're all priests under Christ. So what does that say? We should be all just working on what's in front of us. Recently, we had a party for James, our son, in the garden, his third birthday. We had quite a lot of family come along. Again, because it was outside, we could have a bigger group than normal, which was great. And at the end, of course, everyone starts packing away the chairs or putting food to one side and sort of getting things ready to leave. But can you imagine if someone was standing there and I said, oh, would you mind helping, just packing away the chairs or doing something? And they said, oh, sorry, I made the cake. So packing away chairs is just not my thing. Or would you be able to help? Oh, sorry, I created the playlist that we heard. So I'm afraid packing away chairs is just not my thing. Can you imagine? You see, I think sometimes we can get so caught up in what is my calling? What is my purpose in life? You know, how can, you know, I'm waiting on these incredible gifts and blessings, or I've got these gifts and like I must use them solely, that we overlook that God has put things right in front of us. He's put crumbling walls, broken walls right in front of us to rebuild. You know, we can get so caught up in figuring the grand plan for our life, but actually we just forget to just pack away the chairs. It's important work that needs to be done. And it's work that may not use your gifts or your talents right now to the maximum. But you know what? As Christians, our primary purpose in life is not to maximize our gifts and talents. It's to serve God. Let me repeat that again. Our primary purpose as Christians is not to maximize our gifts and talents. Our primary purpose in life is to serve God. There'll be seasons when you will use those unique things that God has given you. But there'll be a lot of time when you're just called to pack away the chairs. Some of us are gifted prayer warriors. Great. But that doesn't mean that we don't all pray. Some of us are gifted evangelists. Great. But you know what? We're all called to still evangelize. Some of us are gifted at providing great pastoral care. But you know what? We're all called to love one another. So maybe there's an area in your life that God has put something in front of you. And rather than figuring out exactly how to do it, or whether you're ready to do it, or if someone else is better placed to do it, or if you're going to get given this gift to be able to do it right, maybe you just need to get on and do it. Just get on and just get stuck into whatever it is. Get practical. So finally, church, I want to end on just a bit of a challenge for us as a community. I focus a lot on individual things here, but these same challenges, I think, apply to us communally as a community of believers. So this isn't just a challenge for you or for me, it's a challenge for all of us. If it speaks to you directly, then great. But I want to focus again on those three principles, but I want to apply it now to us as a church as we head back to in-person meetings. So one, priority. We need to start by prioritizing to make sure that as a church, when we go back to meeting together, that Christ is our priority. Could be so easy after such a long time apart that we get caught up in little details about restarting in-person church, but that we will lose sight of Jesus. Can I challenge you that when we meet again, perhaps you don't talk necessarily immediately about the England game or about, you know, life during lockdown, although those things I'm sure will come up and we do want to build community and get to know each other once again. But how about we make an effort to ask about how our spiritual life has been during lockdown, how things are going personally between you and the Lord, just offering to pray for each other. Let's just prioritize Jesus in our conversations, church, as we come back together. Proximity, to the principle of proximity. We need to think about, I think, what is around us. It could be easy for us to start thinking about the next big thing, the next big project we want to get involved with, the next big thing we want to go to as a church. But I would challenge us, let's take this time to deepen the relationships around us as we come back to church. Before we start moving on to the next thing and the next thing, let's just deepen what we have. How about maybe offering to meet with someone in the coming months? Perhaps, you know, offering to just get to know someone you don't know so well, or even just reacquainting yourself with somebody that you do know well, but you've just kind of had a bit of a drifting apart from during the pandemic. So let's challenge ourselves with that. And then thirdly, practicality. I think we have to come into this season with a practical mindset. It's going to take us all chipping in, all of us getting involved to help things get up and running again. And this might mean some of us stepping out, having gifts that we've held on to, now just using them, great. But also it might mean many of us just stepping out of our comfort zone and saying, you know what, I don't feel gifted in this area. I don't feel like this is necessarily my long-term plan, but I want to be willing to serve on this team. I want to be willing to help in this way. To just say to Mark or one of the leaders or whoever else in the church, I'm available. I'm ready to just be of practical help. Just think about what practically could you offer now in this season? You see, Nehemiah is a book named after one man, but this passage shows us that it's clear there was a whole team of people who were caught up in the vision of restoring those walls. So Hope Church, as we go into this season, as we kind of refocus and rebuild and pray for revival, let's think about our priorities, making sure it's all about God. Let's think about proximity. What has God already put in front of us? And let's think about practicality. Let's just get on and just do it. I'll read again 1 Corinthians 10:31. I think it's so relevant to this situation. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's pray to finish this morning. Father, thank you that you show us that you are a practical God. Through Nehemiah, we see that you aren't just a God of other realms, but you're a God of our world. You want us to practically do things and serve you in our world. Lord, we pray that you would be our priority in all things, that we wouldn't lose sight of what's important, what matters. Lord, I pray that we would see what's around us, what you've already placed in front of us, that we wouldn't only be looking to the future or to places far away or things that are distant, but we would keep an eye on what you've just put in front of us, Lord. And Lord, just help us to just be willing to step out and just serve you, whatever that looks like, wherever that might be. Lord, we love you. We want to honor you with our entire lives. So Lord, help us to do that by your Spirit this morning.